Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful song. It's good to be back in Jackson, and it was good to be here for homecoming this weekend. I want to say thank you to our girls and boys basketball team for making that wonderful homecoming, and see so many of you again. We've got some familiar faces here in Jackson, and a couple of our students from over in Shelby County, and some others I've had a chance to see this morning. And I'm honored and excited about the chance to get to be here in chapel with you this morning. I don't know if you really can fully comprehend how proud we are as a trustee board of you, not just institution, but of you. And so I'm grateful that God's given me a chance to come and spend this time in worship with you this morning. I have to tell you that the greatest challenge of my life is not being a pastor or trustee or any of those things. The greatest challenge of my life is being a father. And I mean that in all seriousness, because children have a way of, they have a way of keeping you humble at the most inopportune times. I'll give you, for instance, a friend of mine was in Lowe's one day, and he had his little four-year-old boy with him, and they had made their way around fine and had sort of gotten through the morning without any real problems, and they get in the checkout line, and my friend looks up ahead, and there's a person standing there that, well, let me just tactfully say, they were very large, all right? And you know, as a father, you're thinking, you know, you got this four-year-old, don't know what's going to happen. Thought he had sort of cleared everything until all of a sudden, a beeper on the guy that's standing up, the large man, his beeper starts going off. And then nothing could contain the little boy, because when the little boy heard it, he said, "Watch out, Daddy, he's backing up." So, my daughter, Chrissy, who is 12 now, I remember so well when she was 4 years of age, and we were having our time of praying together at night, and it was her time to pray, and she got about halfway through her prayer, and I got sort of frustrated because I couldn't understand what she was saying. She was mumbling. So I stopped her, and I said, "Chrissy, I can hardly understand what you're saying, mumbling like you are." And she looked at me with the sweetest little eyes and said, "Well, Daddy, I wasn't talking to you." So but probably the most enduring characteristic of children that many of us as adults would aspire to is the willingness to please. You know, children have a capacity and a desire to please like no one else in the whole world. I mean, you can get your kids excited about washing the car. I mean, whatever it is, they want to please, and they are out to please you. Well, this morning, I believe that's one of the traits that would do us well to adopt. This morning, I want to talk with you about a man in the Bible, a story that you know so very well. Turn to the book of Jonah if you have your Bibles with you. Jonah chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, and you know the story already of Jonah. You know about the fish and all the things that God did. But there's a part of this story in chapter 1 that I think sometimes we overlook. And verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. And so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Verse 4 says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried to his own God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and lay down, for he was fast asleep. Now imagine that. The storm is up, John is asleep, and these guys realize that they're about to perish, and they start wondering, what is it that we've done wrong that God is doing this to us? And then they go down and get Jonah up. He's down there instead of praying. He's asleep. And they say, man, what are you doing sleeping? Get up and pray. And then Jonah tells them the words, this is not because of you, but it's because of me. God is dealing with me. And so Jonah says, if you want to get by this, just toss me overboard. And they're afraid to do that at first. And then they realize that if they don't do this, I mean, they are in serious trouble. As a matter of fact, verse 13 says, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to the land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. It's not always easy to know what God's will is. And sometimes it's even more difficult to do His will even when we know what it is. This morning, I suspect there are some of you here in this room that you've been busy charting out God's course for your life. When in reality, what God wants, the very same thing He wanted with Jonah, is that God wants you to be willing to let Him chart His course for your life. In another way, I suspect this morning there may be someone or more than one that if you were honest before God this morning, you would have to admit that you are in a course of life where you are resisting God's call on your life. Maybe no one else knows about this, but just you and the Lord. But down in your heart, you know that in your heart, you are fleeing to Tarsus. I mean that you're getting away from where God wants you to be. And so this morning, as a result of that, I want to share with you, and I'll do this briefly, but I want to share with you from these verses today at least four consequences for resisting God's will, or four consequences of resisting God's call for your life. Number one is found in verses 4 and 5. When we resist God's call on our lives, from this story we realize that we can become a curse rather than a blessing. Now, think about that. When we resist God's call for our lives, we are in danger of becoming a curse rather than a blessing. Verse 4 says, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and laid down and was fast asleep. Folks, Jonah was the man of God. Jonah was the one that, if anyone on that ship was to be a blessing, it should have been Jonah, because he was God's man. But instead of being a blessing to those around him, he was resisting God's curse, and Jonah became a curse to the people. He was resisting God's call, and instead of being a blessing, he becomes a curse. Now, that may sound rather Old Testament to you, but it's still true today. If we're guilty of resisting God's call for our lives, then it's real hard for God to bless us when we know we are running from His call and His will in our lives. May I tell you this morning? I mentioned to you about my girls, and I don't mind telling you that the greatest gift that I've given to my family is a gift I gave them before I ever knew them and they knew me. It was when, as a 10-year-old boy, I prayed and gave my life to Christ. That was the greatest gift I could give my children and my wife. I did that then. And sometimes we fail to realize that when we resist God's call for our lives, we put those around us in jeopardy of missing God's blessing. You may say, well, Brother Jerry, I'm not married. I don't have a family right now. Listen, if you are resisting God's call on your life, you are putting your future family under the curse of God and outside of His blessing for your life. I will tell you that as a pastor, so many times when we're searching for God's will, you know, we sometimes think it's sort of a multiple choice question that we can sort of pick and choose which of God's plans we want to follow, only to realize that there's really only one. There's only one. And even as a minister and a pastor, and some of you may be dealing with this even today, if I were to choose the wrong course, if I were like Jonah, and I was saying, okay, God, I know that you want me to go to Nineveh, but I don't like those folks down there. And I'm going to go and I'm going to do this. As a minister, I not only put one church in jeopardy, but I affect two churches. If I'm in a place where I'm not supposed to be and that God has not ordained and laid out, I move those folks out from under God's blessing. And then if there's somewhere I was supposed to be that I'm not, then I put those folks under or out from under God's blessing and curse. So when we resist God's call for our lives, we really do become a curse rather than a blessing. And if there's anything that I can sort of lay out here and ask you to realize, it is simply this. And I guess I know this more today than at any other time in my life. God loves you. And He loves you so much that He not only allowed Jesus to die for you, but God has a plan for every life in this room. So God's not interested in you charting out your course for Him. He wants you to let Him chart out His course for your life. God has a place. God has a way. Our job is to find out where God wants us to be. So the first consequence of resisting God's call is that we become a curse rather than a blessing. But there's a second consequence here. It's found in verse 4. And I like this one. When we resist God's call, He may speak through other circumstances. Look back up at verse 4. It says, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. Now, at first glance, folks may look at that and think, well, you know, God saw this storm coming up, and He decided He would use this storm in the life of Jonah. That's not what it says. As a matter of fact, that word for sent is the Hebrew word tau. And the word literally means to throw or to hurl. And so what God's saying to us, but the Lord hurled a wind. The Lord sent a storm. Jonah didn't listen to God the first time, so God chose to speak through other circumstances. Now, my two girls are 6 and 12, and they really are wonderful kids. But if I tell them to do something, if I lay out a course for them, right, whether it's homework or whatever it is, if they reject my instructions, guess what? I'm going to speak through other circumstances, all right? When I was 14 years old, I remember there were 4 boys in my family. We were all within 2 years of age. There was just not a lot of space separating us between each one of us. And we were always in trouble and always fighting like some of y'all. And I remember at 14, I came to the time that my dad was going to exercise some discipline. He wasn't angry, but we had torn some things up fighting, and I remember all that. But I do remember looking at my dad when he was about to put something on us that we didn't want, and I know I had a rebellious look. It was that look like, I'm too big for you to do this. And I'll never forget my dad. We call him Daddy Buck. I'll never forget the look on his face and what he said. Because he said, if you think you're too big for this, we'll go at it another way. Now, to this day, I don't know what the other way was, but I didn't want any part of it, all right? And I'll be honest with you, God speaks to us in the same voice. You see, if we resist God's call for your life, then He may choose to speak through other circumstances. God is saying to Jonah, and He's saying to us, we can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way. Let me share with you a third thing. When we resist God's call for our lives, verse 6 says that we, or at least I believe it tells us this, that we lose the power of prayer. Now that sounds tragic, but it's true. When we resist God's call for our lives, we lose the power of prayer. Now I didn't say God doesn't hear us anymore, or that we can't pray, we just lose the power of prayer. Let me share with you what I mean. Look at verse 6. So the captain came to Jonah, and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us that we may not perish. This man is saying to the man of God on the ship, why in the world are you sleeping? Get up and start praying to your God. Do you know why Jonah wasn't praying? Because Jonah knew he was outside of the will of God. And he knew that his prayer was not going to mean a whole lot. Because he was the problem, and he is also the solution. That really is a tragic thought. To consider that when we resist God's call on our lives, that we are in danger of losing the power of prayer. But it was true with Jonah. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 66, verse 18, you probably know this very well, but the psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. If we reject God's call on our lives, then we lose the power of prayer. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of things that I can live without. There are a lot of things that I want to live without. But the one thing I don't believe I could consciously live without would be losing the power of prayer. Of knowing that it doesn't matter because I'm so far out of God's will, I really can't ask God to bless what I'm doing anyway. How tragic. And you know, this is not a lost man's application. This is God's man that God's called to go do a revival in Nineveh. And he says, And because of this, he loses the power of prayer. If your prayer life today is not what you think it ought to be, and there could be a number of things that might be wrong, but would you first examine the possibility that you might be resisting God's call on your life? Let me share with you one last thing. A fourth consequence of resisting God's call for our lives is that when we resist God's call for our lives, we lose our testimony. You don't believe it? Look at verse 10. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. Jonah, the man of God, had lost his testimony. I mean, these guys knew that something was wrong, and something was wrong with the character, the spiritual character in his life, because he's running from God. Let me share with you a fact about this that we don't like to admit, and we don't really want to be faced with this, but in all honesty, Jonah did not care that the people in Nineveh were perishing. I have to tell you, we're very optimistic about you. And we're optimistic about your generation. Because I don't think I have ever lived a time in my life where, if we were honest, that the church was more apathetic about the fact that people are perishing. They're dying lost without Christ. And apparently, a lot of us are like Jonah. We just don't care. Jonah resisted God's call, and as a result of that, he lost his testimony to those around him. You may know the name of William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army. And William Booth was quite an apologist of his day, as well as a soul winner. And he was in London, England, at a time that one of the well-known atheists of the area and city came up to Mr. Booth. And he made this statement. And this guy's an atheist, but he said to William Booth, he said, if I believed only one half of what you Christians say you believe about the reality of hell, then I would crawl on my hands and knees on broken glass through the streets of London begging people to be saved. Those words from an atheist about the possibility of the fact that people are perishing. Jonah lost his testimony because he was resisting God's call for his life. So don't think this morning that you can stand and operate under the power of God and God's glow to be around you if you are resisting God's call on your life. I read something the other day that I thought, you know, it's so typical of us. The Federal Department of Transportation, somebody had interviewed one of the engineers there, and in this interview, he was talking about the fact that for years they have been working on this automated traffic system. I guess you could call it a super-duper cruise control, whereby if you were on the main highway or interstate, that they had a centralized computer that could control your car. They could control your speed, braking, and all those things. And as I understand, they were to embed little magnets about every 4 feet along in the asphalt. And you had an onboard computer in the car, and one centralized computer that those two things communicated. And that you could just sail down the road and not worry about anything. And you could program in your exit. You'd get off, and then you'd regain manual control of the car. As he told this, he said the system was just about perfected except for one main flaw. Guess what it was? He said we have failed in our ability to get the average human being to let go and trust the computer. He said this thing just will not work because the average person would never let go and trust the computer. Let me ask you this morning, do you have trouble letting go? Do you have trouble saying to God, God, I really do want you to take over? God, I really do want you to have control of my life. When we resist God's call, we lose our testimony, and we lose all the wonderful things that come with the joy of being right in the middle of God's will for our lives. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment? Before I pray, as we finish up this morning, I want to ask you a very personal question, and no one's watching you but just the Lord. If you're here this morning, and you know in your heart that you are resisting God's call on your life, and you've been in the business of trying to negotiate with God about what you want as opposed to what He wants. And this morning, you recognize that you're never going to be happy. You're never going to have that peace, security, and joy unless you're willing to surrender and follow God's plan for your life. It may be about ministry. It may be about missions. It might even be about a relationship that you should be in or a relationship you shouldn't be in. But you know inside your heart that you're having a hard time doing God's will, following God's call on your life. If that speaks to you this morning, I'm going to ask you just to put your hand up and right back down very quickly, very quietly. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Oh, it's true. Anybody else? Our Father, we do thank you this morning. That Lord, that you give us the privilege of being called your children. And that, Lord, for so many of us, you give us the wonderful privilege of being involved in full-time Christian ministry. But, Lord, this morning, simply by the testimony of hands, Lord, there are young people in this room, Lord, that are as good as it gets, but inside their heart, they've admitted that they've been resisting your call on their life. So, Lord, this morning we confess that the day is short. We know that we're growing ever so closely to the day that you'll come back. And that time is urgent. So, Father, we surrender all that we are to you. God, I pray that this morning as we leave this place, that there would not be a single individual resisting your call on their life. And God, as we follow, we pray that you'd help us to be a blessing. God, that you'd help us to understand your will and what you want to accomplish. And Father, that people could look at us and know that we serve and follow a mighty God indeed. And Lord, just maybe, as it was with Jonah, if we accept your divine call in our lives, that, Lord, we could see real revival all around us. And, Lord, for this, we thank you and give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.